With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The captain, we talk a lot about the captain, having a stellar season. Zach, right now is your Australian captain, isn't he?
I've given it no thought, but he'd be right up there.
I don't know who'd be in front of him, but yeah, I think he'd be hard-pressed to find someone in front of him. And again yesterday, he does it at the coalface. This is what I like about him. He wins clearance. If he loses clearance, he tackles. His work rate yesterday to get back and help in critical moments just to get back and be an extra number.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, that's and
David King.
Fairness,
David King, can I say an outstanding analyst.
No, I want to give you credit here, Andy, because even though you've been very, very, very nasty to me.
Oh, we're having a bit of fun today, and if you can't, it's good.
I want to say this because you made this call. I think prior to the start of the season, in fact, when you did your top five,
poo-pooed.
And you had him at, did you have him number one, though?
No, I didn't have him number
one. You had him in your top five. So it's good to see that the experts on the Fireball Friday are coming and jumping on board. When you set the agenda before the season, it's all very good to watch it unfold, but you actually set the agenda before the season started.
Well, it's very kind of you to say that. I mean, I don't like it. I don't need that sort of stuff. You know?
But you do.
I appreciate it. Mm. I appreciate it.
No, well done to you.
Have we got the great Adam Cooney joins us on a Friday afternoon, as he does every single week. And he's got the Adam Cooney medal votes not too far away, but a whole lot of stuff to get through before we get to any of that. Hello, Coons.
Good afternoon, fellas. Yeah, I've been here the whole time. I was just waiting for you to finish bathing yourself in glory there.
Wow.
Andy.
Coons, we've had some technical issues here, so we didn't know you were actually there.
Coons, did you know in your brief time, or not brief time, but with your time with Zach Merritt, did you know that he had the capacity to elevate himself as a leader to the kind of position that he has?
Well, I never thought that he would be a captain, and only because, you know, when you come in and you're 18 years of age and he's a smaller statured gentleman, you sort of think, well, I'm not sure he could get to that level of leadership, but he was always really dedicated, and he was a beautiful, smooth mover, you know, from day one, and he's a great ball user. So, you know when someone's going to be a great player. Like Marcus Bontempelli, when he walked in day one to train at the Western Bulldogs, you just sort of stood back when we're doing some training drills, and you watch him move and, you know, run away from players and work in and out of traffic. And in his first few sessions, I thought, well, boy, we've got ourselves a good one here. Mm-hmm. He's going to be an absolute superstar. And it was similar with Zach Merritt. Like, obviously, different frames, but he always had that sort of movement and was able to get in and out of traffic and doesn't waste a Sharon. He was always the first one at training as well and the last one to leave, the old cliche. And he was always upstairs during our breaks looking at vision, getting coaches, talking about his game. So he always, from day one, he had that drive to succeed. And he's obviously taken that from his personal game and grown his leadership from there and playing some magnificent football at the moment.
Is he what? So as an extension of what he's doing and bringing to the table, and what appears to my eye to be increased depth at the Essendon Footy Club, Coons, it's round seven, so we're starting to get a body of work that we can start to, if you want to play the big statement game, you've got enough evidence to do it if you want. Essendon should play finals footy this year. I put to you that they are good enough. And that they've got enough quality to come back into that side that will you know elevate the performance of the footy team. I reckon they should absolutely be playing finals this year.
Well, I think they should. They definitely should be aiming for that now. The issue with Essendon, it has been all year and for the last few years, is one is the consistency. Like, their good is very good and their bad is horrible. So they got done easily by Sydney at the start of the year. What was that, 4 or 5 goals? And then they got belted away from home against Port Adelaide. And they won by 70 points. So, like, if you're going to get to that level, you've got to bridge that gap in those inconsistencies in your game. So and also away from home too. If you do slide into the eight and you've got to travel to face Port Adelaide or Sydney or Brisbane, if you have to go up there, you know what's going to happen with the Bombers. But I mean, they should be where they're sitting. They've sort of snuck up on us a little bit, haven't they? Because they've had some poor games and we've bashed them because of that. But they're sort of they're travelling along okay. It would have been nice for Cole Langford to kick his fifth and probably seals the Anzac Day medal with that, and they win the game. But I think it was a fitting result. Well, the one thing that Essendon are doing better now is limiting the damage when they turn the footy over, and they were great at it yesterday in terms of that effort to get back and scramble sometimes to help defend. So that they've been cut up on turnover this year at times, and also in years gone by. So look, I think they're getting better at that in their game. Some positional tweaks and some players are in form, which always helps as well. Like Jake Stringer, forward of the ball, when he's playing like that, what do you have, 10 or 11 scoring involvements, and he just looks like he's up for the fight at the moment.
He
and him forward of the ball is as dangerous as anyone in the competition when he's got it in his hand. So, like, players in form helps, you know, tweaking some positional changes. Like you mentioned just before the 5 o'clock break there, Nick Martin, his game yesterday just started to drift forward of the ball more, and I think he's really dangerous when he does that. We said a couple of weeks ago that we wanted to see Nick Martin play at least up on the wing, so he's around the footy more, not just running off half back. So that was a good positional change, sort of a little second half ish for Nick Martin. So good coaching, great game of footy, fitting result.
So we're going to end the round. We're going to end the round with Collingwood and Brisbane both outside the eight. Now, there's a lot of footy still to be played, obviously, but last year's grand finalists. Just give us your skinny on how those two have navigated their way through the first, you know, 7 rounds of the season.
Horrible from a Brisbane Lions perspective. As bad as you could get, I reckon, considering they're still really talented and they've got some terrific players on their list, and we are all assuming that they should still be in that window, but they're cooked at the moment. Like their lack of pressure that they're putting on the opposition at times is damning, and you just think, well, they've reached that tipping point now. They're not going to make the top four. Can they get it together and win games at the Gabba this year to slide into the eight? But I just think that it's a long way back for the Lions now. A good friend of mine, Kate McCarthy, I was talking to today, she said that, and she's always sticks up for the Brisbane Lions, they had four tackles inside 50 for the game yesterday. So that is not up to standard. I believe the words were putrid.
So what does that tell you? What's that? So the number's no good, but what does that tell you, something about mindset and intent?
Well, that's all it is, really.
Yeah.
It's mindset, effort, and intent to actually want to do it. And we've spoken about it a couple of times. Again, we're repeating ourselves. But you're, when they've been up to that level for so long and got so close to winning a premiership, it can break your heart. I wouldn't know because I haven't been there on grand final day, but my heart's been broken a few times on prelim final day. And you go there and you go to the well and you go again, and then all of a sudden, oh, gee, we've been up for a long time. Can we keep doing this? Can we keep sustaining it? And in 2011, we hit the skids and it was time for a new coach and for us to move on from there after being up as a group at the Western Bulldogs for so long. So I feel like the Lions are at that point now, that tipping point. They've gone over the edge.
But how much of it do you think is with the system? I don't know if they've tweaked a whole lot from what we've seen.
Sounds
from
like
what
they did.
Doing.
Listening to Chris Fagan pre-season, it sounds like they trained different.
But then you see the reports today, and once again, Joe Danaher is in the firing line for some of his efforts. How much is it, when you look at it, do you put on the system as opposed to just the form of the guys, and how much can you put on the coach?
Well, I think that Brisbane's system and the way that they've played for the last 5 years, There's been nothing wrong with it. It's got them to a level to be able to challenge and win big finals and get themselves into premiership contention. So I don't think you change your system too much. Obviously, you tweak, you know, one or two things each year to keep up with what everyone else is doing. But generally, their system has been fine. So I just think it's a case of a group that is fatigued and has missed out on that ultimate prize. And I don't think they believe that they can get there again.
And the Pies?
Gee.
Oh, well, when they were battling to start the season, we questioned Pendlebury, we questioned Crisp, we questioned Sidebottom. Degoey, I think, is just ticking along this year. I mean, numbers are okay. Pendlebury's obviously slowed down a bit, and so has Sidebottom. And Josh Dacos as well, who won the best and fairest last year. I think he's playing okay, but he hasn't gone again to that consistency that he was last year. I mean, Cox, limited influence yesterday, back to earth with a thud for Hoskin Elliott yesterday. So I still think it's that senior core group of players that aren't fully committed, because they are. You're always committed, but I think they're struggling to get back to that level after, you know, their magnificent careers that they've had. Mm. They've given they give Port 5 goals.
Yeah, it was an amazing turnaround. Yeah,
they gave the Bombers 4 goals yesterday. So that's those inconsistencies in the Collingwood game we haven't seen in the last, certainly under Craig McRae. They've given teams chances to stay in the game because of the way that they've played, in terms of that high octane, putting that ultimate pressure on and pressing up, and sometimes you're going to get done out the back. But it's a bit different with Collingwood this year. I think it is more sort of effort and motivation based, rather than last year when Collingwood gave you a look. It was because they were so hell bent on taking the game on and also pressing up as hard as they can to try and win the ball back.
There's a lot to look forward to. Massive game next Friday night, Collingwood v Carlton at the MCG. There feels like, irrespective of what happens with Carlton and Geelong tomorrow, it feels like there's going to be a fair bit on the line in that one. So take us into tonight. There's three pretty big games, and they're all big games for supporters of all the clubs, but tonight feels like a big game for both. And then tomorrow at the MCG, Carlton, Geelong, and tomorrow night, Fremantle, the Western Bulldogs. Does it feel like there's a bit on all of those games?
There's a bit of chicken on the bone for
all
of them.
Yeah,
no doubt. I think more for St Kilda here. I mean, we start to believe with the Saints, and then what happens a fortnight? It was a heartbreaking one against the Giants, and then completely obliterated by the Dogs. So I just don't know. Again, that where are the Saints at? It's been a somewhat of a sneaky rebuild-ish type of year and a half for Ross Lyon and the Saints. So he's just drip-fed some of these younger players through, and they're starting to get games into them. So I think Ross knows where this list is at, and he's trying to drag those players through and get games into them, sort of sneakily with trying to give and feed that belief that they can still... I mean, you make the finals last year, you obviously don't want to go backwards. You want to keep improving year on year. Yeah, but I think he realises where they're at. It's sort of, you know, 7 to 11 on the ladder. I think that's where the Saints are about at the moment. And I think he's doing the right thing with the group in introducing these younger players and trying to get them to sort of hold on and think that they can possibly slide into the eight. But, if they beat Port Adelaide tonight, then it'd be a magnificent effort. I don't think they're going to get close.
You don't think they're going to... Okay, so if you don't think they're going to get close, if they do get close... On the surprise ladder, how surprising would it be?
It'd be a
top rung surprise.
No, it'd be a 6.5 out of 10 rungs. Surprised.
Yeah,
but certainly they're the underdogs coming up against Port as well. And I know that the Port that played that first quarter and a bit last week is the Port that plays well at the Adelaide Oval for the majority of the game. They're in some strife, but stranger things have happened.
Cats just keep rolling, or can you see the Blues getting over the top of them at the G tomorrow?
Tough one. Really tough. 50-50 game. Yeah. It's a bit like Essendon and Collingwood. I think a lot of people just thought that Collingwood would win this one. I think I was of the opinion that it was going to go right down to the wire. I didn't quite back the draw, but would have been nice. Geelong are just... They're just always good. They're just annoyingly always good.
Yeah, I know. They're amazing. They're amazing. They're an amazing footy club. They really are.
And like last week, Tom Stewart goes down in the wet. He's the guy that sets up behind the ball. And then Zach Guthrie turned into Tom Stewart for a half a footy and was one of the best players on the ground. Stengel's effect on that contest last week for 17 disposals, he was the most influential player in the wet. He was terrific. And then the big fella, Toby Conway, just did his job and now he goes out of the side.
They bring some handy players back in.
Yeah, Zach Tuohy comes back in with Reece Stanley and Cam Guthrie.
If you don't mind.
Who hasn't played footy for a very long time. So he'll be a little bit rusty. I'm going to tip the Blues. I think that the juggernaut will roll on. They are, if they're not 1-2, they're probably 3 at the moment. I don't do my seedings like Kingy and Jared do, but maybe I'll start. So I think the Blues, it's just too hard to stop the big boys forward. It's half the battle, isn't it? You stop one of them, the other one pops up, and generally both of them are playing well together. So it's just, when they're firing, Carlton are a completely almost unbeatable team, aren't they?
Hey, although they didn't win it last year, could it be that Brisbane are having the same type of situation that we saw with Geelong last year? Is it too broad of a thing to draw a comparison with what Brisbane are doing? As you know, like we saw Geelong last year and they didn't make the finals after winning it. Now I know they didn't win it,
it's interesting.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That they got. Can you see a? Do you see the talent in Brisbane that they could do similar to what Geelong seem to be doing this year?
I'm not too sure. So Geelong have two things I think that advantage them. One is how they treat their players. It's differently to every other team in the competition. Like they get so much leeway to be able to be trusted, and certainly the older players. So the older players at Geelong don't burn out. I think that's a key to why they're so successful.
Why doesn't everyone do that?
Well, it's a great question.
That's the question.
It is a great question. Go ask Tom Hawkins how he's feeling at the moment.
Correct.
Because he gets his job done and then he goes back to his farm and he gets plenty of time with his family, gets the work in, but their work-life balance is better than anyone. Like, look at Jeremy Cameron. He just doesn't stop smiling because he just loves his life.
Yeah.
He loves his footy and he loves his farm.
His cows.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just their work-life balance is terrific at Geelong. So and they've sort of introduced, and they pick out these players from obscurity and they just work them in so well. And I think that's the advantage that they have is they recruit really well and they're very smart and intelligent about how they get their players. They seem to know the ones that are going to come in and impact straight away. Whereas I think Brisbane have still got their core sort of group of players that are stars, inconsistent at times with their forwards like Hipwood and Danaher, but you get a year older, Gazy. I mean, the reason that they have been so good has been, you know, Lachie Neale, Josh Dunkley has been huge. Harris Andrews, like their core group of senior players, and Zorko as well that have kept them up. Ashcroft coming back in will help hopefully in the back half of the year. And Fletcher's a young player who looks really good, but it has been the senior core group that have kept them up for so long. And I just think they're struggling a little bit in that department now.
There's a lot to look forward to in across all of those teams. We've got to let you go, but the Adam Cooney medal, I've just seen the data put on the screen and, by Jiminy, this is a volatile week when it comes to the Adam Cooney medal for 2024.
Well, this is the thing. You're in your fifth year and you're coming and you get to this time, these players now, they're starting to fatigue. Some of them are starting to tire. Only the best fifth-year players can keep it up. And we've had a poor one for the Adam Cooney medal. Some of our boys that are in contention were starting to hit the skids, but we've had three players that stood out this week.
Okay.
Ned Sunt, again, was huge. He gets more votes. He gets one.
Wow.
Sammy Flanders with 34. And I know they got hammered, but he He'd be winning their best and fairest at the moment.
Magnet.
Oh, Flanders. Two is the little flea, Cody Waitman. A few snags last week. I thought he was terrific and probably could have got votes a couple of weeks before. So we'll give him a reward for effort there. And three votes in a losing team as well is Matt Rowell. Gold Coast Suns in the Adam Cooney medal flying at the moment.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely flying. So 20 touches, 12 tackles, 8 clearances. Brave in a heavy defeat. As I said, it was an average week for the Adam Cooney lads, so they've got a lift next week.
Well, Rao now takes outright leadership of the Adam Cooney medal for 2024 by virtue of those votes. On 7 votes, he sits all alone. Caleb Sarong on 6, and then we've got a three-way tie. Young Tom Green, young Cody Waitman, and young Sam Flanders all tied on 4th. And you can write your own, well, not write your own ticket, the rest, but we won't go through the entire leaderboard at this stage. But they are the leading 5 players, and what a leading 5 players they are. Adam, you're a joy. Good luck with wherever you are this week with your coaching duties, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
You're a beautiful man. Thank you. It's